Welcome to The Learning Curve with Roger and Virginia. The Learning Curve is about helping kids get good grades in school and succeeding in life. The basic premise on which we operate this show is that all kids have the natural ability to learn. As a matter of fact, we all have a natural ability to learn. This is for all parents, teachers, and students who truly want to succeed. To get more information on the material we will cover today, you can go to www.howtolearneasily.com, or if you have any questions or stories you'd like to share with us, please email us at questions@howtolearneasily.com.
Okay, listeners, this is the second half of our program with Dr. Robin Odegaard. And you remember last week we were talking about the seven no-fail secrets to stop the drama. And we're going to quickly recap on these points. And my sweet Virginia has a question to ask Doc Robin on some of these points in a second. So for those folk who may not have heard last week's program, Dr. Robin Odegaard is holds a doctorate in psychology and with special reference to organization and the training of athletes and getting teams working together properly and productively. So Doc, just quickly recap the points of last week's program, the seven no-fail secrets to stop the drama.
Okay, Roger, great. Thanks for having me back.
You're welcome. You were so good last week, we had to have you back.
So, I'm going to run through them really quickly. Hopefully your listeners can go find last week's taping if they would like to hear them. So the seven no-fail secrets to stop the drama. Speak from the I, which is own your own stuff. Nobody can make you feel anything.
Mm-hmm.
Allow yourself space to feel, which is don't let the conversation run away with you. Make sure you feel the emotions that you have, not just let things come flying out of your mouth. And then put those feelings into words, the internal dialogue, what's going on in your head, put them into words, because you can't expect someone to behave as if they know what you are thinking if you never tell them what you're thinking. Assume the positive. People are not out to get you. People love you. They're coming right from a good place. Assume that the people who are talking to you have a positive reason for it. Ask before providing feedback, which is don't blindside somebody. Give them a chance to give them that nanosecond of, hey, I've got something I'd like to talk to you about. Is now a good time? And if it's not, then schedule a time that is a better time. Create a team vocabulary, which if you have a situation that repeats itself over and over, come up with words and define those words that you guys can use as a family or as a team to communicate something very quickly and very easily. It's just makes logical sense. And then finally, know when to call an emotional timeout. When a conversation is running away, when emotions are running high, call a timeout, say, hey, we need a break, and schedule time to talk about it again in the future, which is very important, that second part. Don't push it under a rug. Schedule time to talk about it.
And
but come back to it. Yeah,
That's good. I like that.
So, Virginia, you had a question.
Yes. Okay. So you are doing the Stop the Drama campaign, The Ultimate Guide to Female Teams, and is designed to help athletes and their coaches and parents to understand why gossip, cliques, backstabbing, hurt feelings, and tears are so rampant on female teams, and to act as a guide to making it stop.
Right.
So that brought to mind, when I read that brought to mind this whole issue about bullying that's being talked about in the media for the past, I'd say about a past year. Now, I guess my first question is, I mean, I was bullied as a kid, but I don't feel that I am any the worse for it. But how is bullying different these days? And how do you think your Stop the Drama campaign can help?
Okay, well, I don't know if bullying is different, but we're definitely much more aware of it as a society. But I think, and I'm going to try and make this distinction, hopefully it's clear, that drama and bullying are different things. In my mind, they're different things. Bullying is very malicious intended. It's intended to be malicious. The bullier is intending to hurt the other person. So, and bullying can definitely be part of drama. Drama can be some of bullying. But for me, drama is more about the ineffective ability to have conflict and to have a healthy communication. And so drama happens on teams that of, and I am focusing currently on girls, college-age girls, high school-age girls, but teams who should have a common goal. I mean, they're athletic teams or cheer teams or whatever kind of team it is. And they want to work together, they just don't know how.
Right.
Whereas bullying tends to be people who aren't necessarily on a team, they don't have a common goal, they don't want to work together, and it's more malicious in nature. Now, can the Stop the Drama stuff help with bullying? Absolutely.
It
because
probably prevent some of it.
It can prevent some of it. Yeah. It can give the person being bullied a way to kind of voice their annoyance with it, but it is a different thing. In my mind, anyway, they're different things. They bleed together. Does that answer your question, Virginia?
Yes, it does.
Okay, wonderful.
Okay, so we're now going to look at the 9 secrets to good teamwork. And both
no,
of these...
No, to great teamwork.
To
great teamwork.
My God. That's my down under era. So, yes, we're going to look at the 9 secrets to great teamwork. And... listeners, both of these documents are available to you if you want to get them. You can email Doc Robin at where, Doc Robin?
Well, there's two ways. They can either come to my website, which, as we mentioned, I'm the owner of Champion Performance Development, and they can come to that website, champperformance.com, all together with 2 P's in the middle, champperformance.com, and they can just click on the contact button and send me a note from there. Or if they'd rather, my email address is on there, which is docrobin@champperformance.com. And they can just request, please send me the 9 secrets to great teamwork, or they can say, please send me the no fail secrets to stopping the drama, and I will fire them off to them.
Good.
So we wanted to go through the 9 secrets to great teamwork.
Right, that's what I'm looking forward to.
All right, great. Well, let me tell you a little bit about how these were created. These actually came from my work with college-age teams and kind of watching how they work together, watching some of their challenges, and helping them deal with those challenges. So we'll run through them really quickly here. Roger, does that sound good to you?
Well, you can take your time. We've got the time here. You can do it in depth.
All right, great. So again, these are just like the no-fail secrets to stopping the drama. They aren't in any particular order. They can be used however they need to be applied. So the first one we have here is set expectations, which basically means you cannot expect someone to meet your needs if you've never told them what those needs are.
Right.
And it's amazing how often people expect someone to know something but have never told them. And I see nodding. You can't see nodding, guys, but they're nodding.
The audience could probably even hear Virginia nodding and rattling on this one.
I'm sorry. It just makes me think about, talking about a team, I mean, you've got a husband and wife team. You've got a family team. But so many times, husbands and wives don't tell each other what they need or what they're thinking. You're supposed to know what it is.
If you love me, you know.
Exactly. And meanwhile, of course, lots of hurt feelings go on.
If you don't know what you did, I'm not telling you.
Yeah. Oh, is that,
great. Thanks.
Thank heavens I've never heard that line. You rendered that so descriptively. I can imagine what was going on in that relationship.
So, you know, setting expectations actually isn't that hard. Until you actually realize you have to do it. And then you have to figure out what it is you want. And that's something I actually, when I work with clients, or I work with teams, or I do Stop the Drama boot camps, is putting what you want, articulating what you want into words and actually explaining it is more challenging than it seems.
Yeah.
So,
a true story on that. In my coaching work and consulting work, quite often with individuals, I'll ask them the question, if you had all of the money and all the time and all the resources you needed in order to do whatever it is you really, really want to do in life, what would it be?
Right.
And it's a very, very rare person who actually knows the answer to that question.
Off the top of their head, right? Exactly.
They go, And you get all sorts of answers like, well, I'd like to travel.
Yeah, exactly.
But what do you really want to do?
Right.
Become or have.
So.
Yes, so over to you, Doc.
I think that parents need to do a better job of setting expectations for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's, and articulating them, not just assuming that they know that what they're supposed to do, because obviously that's not going to work. And then once you have those expectations set, you have something, the next one on the list, to hold somebody accountable to. If someone's not pulling their weight and they know what that means to pull their weight, like what they're supposed to be doing,
right,
and they're not doing it, then you can say, hey, what's going on? We have this expectation. We discussed it. We know what the standards are and you're not meeting them. What's the deal with that? So holding each other accountable to the expectations that have been set is the second,
right,
kind of the second piece. Thirdly, supporting one another, checking in. And I equate this to, I have seen teams playing where a player will come off the field, you know, be pulled off the field in tears. She's crying. And her teammates say nothing to her.
Mm.
And I don't understand that. I mean, if you're a team and you're supposed to be helping,
right,
someone, you're supposed to be being great together, how can you not go and say, hey, just want to check in, are you okay? And now, at that point, that player or that person has the right to say, I'm fine, I just need a moment.
Yep.
Just give me some space, it's not a problem. Or they can say, no, I'm not fine.
Mm.
But if you never give someone that opportunity to say, yes, I'm okay, or no, I'm not okay, how do they handle that emotion? I think that it's really important with teams, with families, is that we check in with each other. Don't assume that you know what the person is feeling or
right,
what's going
on
with them.
You're supposed to support each other,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if the other side of that, of checking in, is if you're not getting what you need in a team or in a family unit, ask for it.
Mm.
You know, it goes back to, I can't read your mind. If you need something from me and I'm not giving it to you, let's have a conversation. Bring it up.
Right.
So that's part of the support. The next one I have on here is love each other enough to give the tough feedback, trust each other enough to apply it. And that's huge.
Mm.
If, you know, if I go to you, Virginia, and I say, hey, I've got some feedback I want to give you, and it's coming from a good place, and I mean well, and I give it to you, and it takes a lot of energy for me to kind of step out there and say, hey, I think that we could be better if you did X, Y, Z, and then you don't apply it, it's going to shut me down, right? Mm-hmm. So that just, I don't, there's nothing even more written underneath there on the list. It just says love each other enough to give the tough feedback and trust each other enough to apply it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of that easy. The next one we talked about a little bit in the last show, which is you cannot observe another person's feelings. Only the symptoms of those feelings and how you interpret them might be wrong.
Right.
So you need to check in. And the next one being it's impossible to observe why. So not only can you not tell what a person's feelings are, but then you can't tell why they're having those feelings. Those are things you need to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make it up. Don't. And we do. We jump to conclusions.
Yeah.
But
we dub in.
Yeah. Yeah. We go ahead and make stuff up in our head about why people are doing things and what the symptoms of their emotions mean. But, you know, you need to ask. And the next one I have is play brave, not afraid. Which, you know, I read a quote, and I'm sorry, I can't remember who said it, but I think it might have been Mark Twain. You will regret the things you didn't do,
right,
more than the things you did.
Correct.
And that's kind of what playing brave is about, is trying and failing is better than doing nothing. And I believe that there's a lot of pressure in this day and age, especially on kids and even some on adults, to be mediocre. Because as long as you're average, as long as you're good enough, you don't fail, it's fine, you're getting by, but you're never great. You never really succeed that way.
Accomplish, right.
Right, and you have to be able to play brave, and whether that's life or in the world of sports, put it out there on the line and trust your teammates are gonna be there to catch you if you push it just a little bit too far.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. In fact, I really am down on some of the new age think that came out of India, or the gurus in the East, who, putting forward the notion that if you don't seek for anything, you can't be disappointed. What a lot of twaddle. I mean, what kind of a life would that be? And these are the people, of course, who walk around doing nothing in funny colored clothing, begging for a living. So maybe that's But hell.
If you don't know where you're going, you'll probably never get there.
And that sort of stuff. But don't try for anything, and then you won't be disappointed. What a loser's proposition that is. I can't imagine a more boring life than that one. Seriously. So have ambition.
I have a question, though. You said that you feel that parents and children have pressure on themselves to be mediocre rather than to stand out. And I'm just thinking, quite honestly, of the New York City parents here who have pressure on their kids to stand out, to excel, to be exceptional. Is it just maybe it's unusual or an anomaly here in New York City or what?
Well, I think actually, obviously, there's extremes on the other side of
right.
it. And you're going to hear about the people who are pushing their kids.
Right.
You're gonna, those are the ones that are going to get the press. The ones that are just, we're cattle. We all do the same thing. We all work together. Mm. We're all mediocre. We all just move. You're not going to hear about them in the press.
You're right.
Those aren't the ones that are going to get any news.
Okay. In fact, last week's guest, Dr. Roger Gordon, was talking about in the black community, there is tremendous peer pressure among the blacks, it's certain economic strata of the black community, to not excel, to not try, to not get educated, to not speak English, but speak black English.
Right.
And they actually, a lot of peer pressure to dumb them down, actually.
Oh,
it's
that's
quite
unfortunate.
Tragic. Yeah.
But part of the playing brave, and I kind of glossed over it, so I want to make a point so that your listeners don't miss it. Part of being able to play brave is knowing your teammates are your net. They will catch you, whether it's in a family unit, it's parents, it's in a team, it's your teammates and your coaches. But if you push that envelope just a little bit too far, if you play brave and you're putting it out there and it goes just a little bit too far, they're going to catch you.
Mm.
And that's part of being in a unit where you can play brave is the ability to know somebody's got your back.
Right.
And I guess it also comes back to the other point you made of love each other.
Yeah.
In that, yes, you're going to put it out there, you're going to play brave, and maybe you're going to fall on your face, but your teammates will love you for it anyway.
Right. And that's, I mean, we don't have time to get into it here, obviously, because I could go on for half a day about this in a boot camp, about what it means to play brave, what it means to catch your teammates, what it means to have your teammates back, and how you develop that culture on a team or in a family unit. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff that goes into that, but just for here, play brave, not afraid.
Yep.
Live life brave.
Oh, yes. Be bold.
Yeah, exactly.
Be bold.
Exactly. And catch each other when it goes a little overboard. So the next one is going to sound a lot like it's particularly for athletes. As I said, this was developed in an athletic setting. But never evaluate during competition. Adjust and move on. Stay in the moment and save evaluation for after the game. And I think that this applies for parents in that using the word should, you should have. Well, you can't fix the past. That doesn't, and the same is true in a competition. If I say to an athlete, oh, you should have, well, the ball's already gone. There's nothing you can do about it at that point. So instead of doing an evaluation on the past, look at it in a productive way after the event is over. Because you can't evaluate and perform at the same time. You can do one or the other, but not both.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want them to actually be performing, whether it's on their schoolwork or whatever, let them perform. And then after, then you can evaluate. But if you break it up and try to do both, you'll do neither successfully. So stay in the moment.
That's good advice.
And one of the things that I teach, and this is, again, may fit better into the athletic setting, but the 7-second rule. You're allowed to kick yourself or praise yourself for an event for 7 seconds and then move on and get back in the moment and do what you need to do now.
Right.
Because if you're focusing backwards,
you're
not paying attention to what's in front of you.
Right,
it's like driving with looking in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Which is not a good thing. And that leads right into the last one, which is celebrate and remember successes, learn from and move past disappointments.
Good point.
So if you wallow in disappointments, you aren't learning and you're not using that knowledge. And it seems so often that the human brain remembers failure and forgets success. And how backwards is that?
Yes. Very wisely put. It is backwards, but it's one of the traps of being human. There's ways around it, but that's the trap that most humans are in. Actually, when some of these points reminded me of the 1986 Masters tournament, the Jack Nicklaus one.
Mm.
And I often tell this story, and I remember the lesson I learned myself as a competitive athlete, but I think it was about two or three holes to go, and the leader was actually Greg Norman, two strokes up. And the championship was his to lose. And Jack Nicklaus, it was his last major championship win, was coming from behind, but Greg Norman was two strokes up. And as he began to look at the enormity of the potential success and the what must not go wrong, you could see him actually gripping that club far more tightly than before. Yeah. And the shoulders were, you know, and everything was very serious. I mean, he was resisting what must not happen. And guess what kept happening?
Yes.
Bingo, bango, bongo. He was screwing up, and Nicklaus came through, I think it was at the last hole, and clinched it by Norman actually missed a putt, and Nicklaus did a burr, so whatever happened. But that was he blew the championship.
Yeah, yeah.
And so really not focusing.
You can focus too far ahead, too. Focusing backwards or focusing too far ahead, never good.
You've got to actually focus on what you want. Don't focus on resisting on what you don't want.
exactly.
So, yes. Yeah,
so can I give my website again for your listeners? In case
so, Roman, yes, give folk your website so they can get these documents from you. And you've got a lot of downloads on your sites, I noticed, when I went there to check you out.
There's
see, we check all our guests out to make sure that they're good enough
valid
for our audience.
Yes, exactly. Well, like I said last week, I do blog at champperformance.com. I write a topic of the week there where I talk about conflict and communication and teamwork and leadership and all kinds of fun things. I think right now there's like 29 or 30 past blog posts out there.
Okay.
That, and I expect your listeners to read every single one of them in detail. No, of course not, but they can read the ones that are interesting to them. But if they would like to get the documents, the 7 no-fail secrets to stop the drama and the 9 secrets to great teamwork, they can just click on the Contact Us link there on my website and send me a little note that says, hey, send me the documents, and I will gladly fire them right off to your listeners.
Brilliant.
They can also invite, there's a speaking page there. They can invite me to speak to their group if they think their group would be interested in this kind of thing. And if they're interested in a boot camp, they can let me know that, and I can put them on the list to find out when the next Stop the Drama boot camp is.
And if you or your kids are in any teams that can benefit from Robin's counsel, don't be bashful. Reach out. Be bold, as we say.
Exactly.
Because knowing the young lady as I now do, I can only say that she's a total class act, and I highly recommend getting what she's able to provide for your kids and for your school teams and college teams. So, Robin, thanks very much for being on the show this week. It's been a delight, a lot of fun for me as an old campaigner. And Virginia has something here to say. She usually does. Over to you, V.
This has been The Learning Curve with Roger and Virginia. The Learning Curve is about helping kids get good grades in school and succeeding in life. Our basic premise is that all children learn naturally. It's a natural ability we all have. To get more information on our material, you can go to www.howtolearneasily.com. Or if you have any questions or stories you'd like to send us, you can email us at questions@howtolearneasily.com.